That is a great reminder for service. And that it does tie in a little bit to what we're talking about right now in Homefront, which is math and marriage. And the way that that ties in is just like the Clarks were just sharing, often it doesn't always add up. How am I going to add this time into my day? I don't really have this time. I don't really have that to do. I can't do this. All of those types of things we think in our head. In our own math system, it doesn't work out. With God's math, though, it's a little bit different. We talked about that last week. If you remember, Paul Goodnight talked about how 1 + 1 = 1. God's math is just different. We talked about how all throughout the Bible you see stories of God's math not working out the way that you would think it would, whether it be battles that the Israelites would go into with way undermanned forces or no forces sometimes, and they would still win, or whether it would just be something along the lines of feeding the 5,000. You know, here's a little boy with just a few loaves and a few pieces of fish, and all of a sudden all these people have food. It doesn't add up all the time with God's math. And so Jason's going to come up this morning, and he's going to talk about another equation within God's math and how we can approach it as Christians and in our marriages. And I'll let him share more with you about that. I don't want to give it away, or at least I'm told not to give it away. So.
Greg, thank you very much. So as I come back from a weekend away, I was pondering what could possibly be the most career-limiting move that someone could pull off. And I think possibly the most career-limiting move would be to go away for a weekend and then have a bunch of jokers say in a recording that's on the web that I was with my parole officer. So for those of you guys that were questioning whether or not I was going someplace after RBC, the answer is no, because that pretty much shut all the doors right there. So thanks a lot for talking about my trip to the parole officer. No, seriously, I was away with one of my sons last weekend, one of my middle sons, Noah, who is, how old's Noah, Bridge? 7, thanks. I was away with Noah. We went away for a father-son retreat weekend, and we had a great time. It was wonderful, but it's exciting to be back with you guys, and it's exciting to continue in this series called Math and Marriage, and today we talk about multiplication. Multiplication. So when I say marriage and multiply, what do you think?
Bunnies.
Bunnies, thank you. Seriously, what do we think? Go ahead, say it. Kids. We think about kids, right? When we say multiply within marriage, we naturally think this is all about kids. And you think, okay, well, what better guy to talk about multiplication than the guy with 7 kids, right? Bunnies. So he's probably pretty good at that. So he can come up and talk about multiplication. But in fact, that's not what we're going to talk about today. And I would argue that God has something to say about multiplication that is much more profound than having kids. Not that having kids isn't important, which it is, but I don't think that's our primary calling in our walks, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It's so easy, though, because even in the world around us, we think, okay, the purpose for getting married is so we can procreate, our name can be carried on, blah, blah, blah. In Christian circles, it's even more. People start spouting verses, you know, be fruitful, multiply. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the purpose, right? Well, sort of. It might be, but it might not be, and we're called to a much higher calling than just the creation of children. So here's the question I have for you today. We're about to get married, right? We're thinking about it. Isn't that our primary focus, having kids? Isn't that what marriage is all about? Or for some of us, we've been married. We've been married a short period of time. We've been married a long period of time. We just don't feel like we're called to have kids. Or we have been unable to have children up to this point. Is our relationship by God's standard not complete because we haven't been able to have children? Or we've been married for a period of time and we have been able to have kids. We have 1 child or 2 children or 5 or 10. We have all of these children and now we feel like our whole life revolves around children and what they do. The weekends are just total chaos because we're following kids everywhere. We're taxi driver taking them to practices. We're involved in everything. If it's not karate, it's band. If it's not band, it's soccer. If it's not soccer, it's art. I don't know what all kids do today. All of these things. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what God called us to do, to multiply? And now this is our all-encompassing life to chase our kids around? I think it's much bigger than that, because what we have to remember is we are called to something before we're called to marriage. What does God have to say about it? Well, turn with me, take a look in Matthew 28, if you have your Bible with you, because I want you to read this, not just have me read it to you. Turn with me to Matthew 28, and let's look at the end. So this is one of the accounts of Jesus' life when he walked here on earth, and we're told all about the miraculous things that he's done. But at this point, Jesus has been crucified. He indeed dies. They know he's dead. They put him in the grave. He's dead for 3 days, and he rises from the dead, and people see him all over. And now we pick it up, chapter 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." To the end of the age. Go and make disciples. The men that stood before him, the disciples, the 11 that were there, some of them didn't have kids. These were just a bunch of fishermen. So we're so quick to say, once we're married, our call, our primary call is to have children and then make disciples of those children. And I will not undersell that. That is very significant. Some of you, the most significant thing that you will do in your life is to pass your faith along to your children. And that's awesome. I'm just saying that that's not the be-all, end-all. Because we are called to make disciples. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people before we have children. Now, some of you might be like me. So I wasn't a Christian when I got married. I wasn't a Christian. I did not consider myself a Christ follower when my son was born. So is the order switch here? When I say we are called to be Christians before we are called to be parents, is the order messed up here? No, what I'm saying is no matter when you were saved, whether you've already had children or you haven't had children, if your family structure includes children right now, you are primarily called to make disciples. You are secondarily called to have children and to make them disciples. They are part of your discipleship process, but they are not the only disciples that you will make. When we say we're married or we're in a marriage, if we're followers of Christ, what kind of marriage do we call that? A what marriage? If we're followers of Christ, this is like softball, guys. The ball is this big. What's that? It is a Christian marriage. If we're followers of Christ and we're married, we say that we are in union and it's part of a Christian marriage. Which word comes first? Christian. Christian. All Christians, you are called. I'm telling you, this is basic stuff, but it has serious ramifications. Christian comes first. We wouldn't say we're part of a marriage Christian. We say we're a part of a Christian marriage, because Christian is the foundation on which our marriage is built. And as Christians, we are called to go and make disciples. This is called the Great Commission in the Scriptures. This is what God calls us to do, to go and to make disciples of all nations. We're called to go and be salt, to be different. We're called to go and be light. I love Meg and Mike, and they're talking about their call to serve and go out. And We're called to go out and do these things to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, because here's my big point for today. And Jack, if you could advance one slide. Marriage is meant to be a gospel multiplier. Your marriage was created to be a gospel multiplier. Note that I don't say you're just supposed to multiply in marriage, because that might be one piece of it. It may not. Some of you may not have kids, but you are married, and your call as a part of being in a Christian marriage is Christian first, to go and make disciples, to make your marriage a gospel multiplier. I went back and listened to Paul's message from last week, and I knew he was going to do a great job. And my only fear whenever I ask Paul to speak is that you guys will fire me because Paul is so good and you'll want him every week. And frankly, I would love to sit under Paul every week. He is that good. And I love when Paul was talking about, go back and look at the notes that Paul said. He used this expression that our marriage is a microcosm of the church. In God's economy, opposites complement one another so that we can come together. And he went and he looked in, I can't remember if he went to Corinthians or Romans, but he was talking about the parts of the church and how when people come into the church, they're gifted differently and they come together to fulfill the mission of the church. Well, when you are married and you come together with your spouse, though you might be different, you come together not because in some worldly sense opposites attract and that goofy stuff, because God has designed your marriage to include two people that are not alike to complement each other in a way so that the gospel can be multiplied. That's what we're called to do within our marriage, to be gospel multipliers, to go out. So for some of you, it may include children. For some of you, you may be the gospel multiplier that speaks truth, that shares the love of Christ within your family to your children. But family, the word family is not defined as mom and dad and kids in the Bible. At least that's not how the Bible describes it. Family is when a man and woman come together. If you come together in holy matrimony, you are already a family. Some families are extended with the blessing of children, but that is not family. You're not short of a family because you don't have kids. When you are together, you are family. And some families are called to have kids, others are not. But all families are called, all couples are called to be gospel multipliers and to go out. Well, what does that look like to go out? What does it look like to go out and be gospel multipliers within your marriage? For many of you, it's going to look drastically different. That's why I asked the Clarks this morning to come up. You know, and when I don't know how you guys felt, when I hear the Clarks speak and I know that they're really involved in service, like I sit back and go, whoa. I don't even do a fraction of those things because I can't look at another couple and say, well, that's the model for service. That's the model for being a gospel multiplier. Bridget and I just look differently than the Clarks do. And some of you may look differently than the Clarks and Bridget and I in some of these examples I'm going to share with you. But the question is, it might look different, but how are you a gospel multiplier in your marriage? When we are called to be the hands and feet of Christ, what does that look like in your marriage? Some of you serve right here at Homefront. That's how you're a gospel multiplier. Some of you serve in other ways within the church. That's awesome. I'm not going to undersell that, and particularly since I have the coordinator of volunteers sitting in the back with Kemper, I'm not going to call out. Not serving at church is great, but consider where God has placed you. Consider where God has placed you. Are you called in the lives of the people around you to be a gospel multiplier? I think it was Augustine, somebody really smart like Greg will correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was Augustine said, share the gospel wherever you are, and when you have to, use words. Think about that. Share the gospel wherever you are, and if all else fails, use words. Because the gospel, yes, I can articulate it to you. I can give you that message and give you the text and the quotes, and I can paint a picture for you and describe what the gospel is. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, which if I could greatly summarize, is that God loves you more than you know. You want to understand what that looks like? Let me show you what that looks like. But that God loves you more than you know. The gospel is experienced. The gospel is lived out in the way that you interact with other people. Some of you might be called in your marriage to be a gospel multiplier by coaching. That's one of the primary ways that I'm called. I get to touch more kids' lives, more families' lives in the community that I'm in, which is Sterling, through coaching than any other means. Bridget's really involved in the school. She has an opportunity through that. And it's not that I go and carry my Bible to practice. I don't do that. But I try to treat the young ladies and the young men that I have the privilege of coaching. I try to treat them better than anyone treats them. I build them up. I remind them, and I will tell them that you are God's creation. God made you that way. I remind them that. You're a great dribbler because God made you that way. I don't try to be super preachy about it, but I want them to get some glimpse that there is a God of the universe that loves them more than they can ever imagine and that they are special. So that's one of the ways that God has called me to be a gospel multiplier in the community. Some of you might have an opportunity to volunteer like the Clarks. Bridget and I, we did that a little bit before we had kids, but doing a soup kitchen, doing a homeless shelter, seven kids, guys in diapers still, actually not in diapers anymore as of this week. Yes, yes, yes. Last one out of diapers. But that's just hard to do. Logistically, that's just hard to do. But maybe some of you can pull that off. You can invest the time in the soup kitchen, in the homeless shelter, and be able to serve in that way. Some of you, ladies, some of you are in the workforce. Men, some of you are in the workforce. Right in front of you, in your workplace, you have an opportunity to be salt and light. You have an opportunity to be a gospel multiplier right in your workplace. Some of you have an opportunity to serve. Women's First Choice is right up the road, an organization that our church partners with that helps women through pregnancy counseling and those sorts of things. Great, great organization. Rest in Interfaith, other organizations that provide food and clothing and those sorts of things. There are so many different ways to serve. It's not necessarily who you sign up with. It's who you are when you sign up. It's not who you sign up with. It doesn't have to be a Christian organization, though some of them are great. It doesn't have to have the Christian, the cross spread all over it. Just go and serve in your atheist-filled school. Just be there. But when you are there, be Christ in that environment. Couple things as far as how this applies. And you can ask me, you can ask the Clark, you can ask those others that serve if you want more ideas. I don't want to just dump all those on you this morning. And it's not a guilt trip either. I'm not trying to make you feel bad about not serving. What I'm telling you is that when you allow your marriage to be a gospel multiplier, because you're doing what God designed it to do, your marriage will get stronger. Your marriage will get stronger. So even if right now you're serving in different places, you have a ministry you feel like in your workplace, your wife has a ministry here, your husband has a ministry through the sports team he plays with or the golf outing that he does, whatever it looks like, to make your marriage stronger, talk about it. You want to see fruit from being a gospel multiplier in your marriage? Just talk about it with your spouse. When you come home, say, "You wouldn't believe the conversation I had today." When you see your husband, say, "You wouldn't believe who I ran into today. Isn't this crazy? I would have never thought I would run into this person. Did you know so-and-so is going through a divorce?" Think about the people on your street, another quick example, but even within your neighborhood. Are there any widows on your street? Are there any single moms, single dads? Are there any teenagers that you just know are really struggling and they're not connecting with their parents? What opportunities has God put right in front of you that he desires for your marriage to get better through it? And you're not doing it to make your marriage better. It's just the way that God designed it. And when you work the way that God designed, it will naturally get better. Here's the other side benefit. Again, you're not doing it for these reasons. How many of you have ever had an intense moment of fellowship over the stupidest little thing? Like what color to paint the bathroom? What we should hang on this wall? Do you think we should get the Audi, and I don't even know cars, so forgive me, I'm not a car guy. Should we get the Audi A blah, 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 6, the Audi A4? And you've literally sat down and invested hours talking, sometimes getting passionate and frustrated over which Audi you should get, what color you should paint the bathroom, where you should go on vacation. Well, I don't know about this house because this house has a hot tub. Well, it's a little bit more expensive. Come on, be real with me. How many of us have ever talked or invested time talking about something and you look back later and you were like, that was a stupid thing to even talk about? Raise your hand. How many of you have done that? How many of you done that? And I've used this expression before. We have a lot of rich people problems, don't we, in Northern Virginia? We have a lot of rich people problems. If you go to a third world country, they're not arguing about shoe space in the closet. It's just a reality. When you start to invest in and consider your marriage to be a gospel multiplier, it puts things in perspective. You won't argue about the stupid little things that once controlled your day or a season of your life, because frankly, there's more important things to talk about, because I'm more concerned about Joey on my basketball team, whose parents are getting divorced, whose world is falling apart. I'm thinking about him. I'm not so much worried about whether or not the dishes were done that day. When our marriage is a gospel multiplier, it changes our perspective on life, and it gives us a glimpse of what Jesus sees all the time. And the question is, are you being called to be a part of that? And the answer is always yes. I don't know what it looks like during this season for you, but the answer is always yes. Do you know the couple whose their marriage is falling apart? Instead of just worrying about where you're going to go for dinner, ask them to go to dinner. Think about them. And all of a sudden, the little dwinky stuff that you're arguing about, when you know that they're about to separate and their kids are going to be bouncing back and forth and doing the weekend thing and the joint custody, when you start thinking about that, you're like, the little stuff that we're talking about really isn't that important. Allowing your marriage to be a gospel multiplier is a game changer. A few weeks ago, we had a series in Big Church, if you guys had an opportunity to do it. And I just want to bring that back to you, where Aaron Osborne, Mike Myers, and Jason Van Dorsen encouraged us to do something, to go out and do something, not because doing something will earn God's favor, not because it'll make him love you more. He's not going to die on the cross all over again for you. He's done that. It's done. It's in the past. If you are a follower of Christ, what's done is done. If you're not a follower of Christ, that does not earn you the right to get into heaven. You cannot pay God back. You cannot earn his favor. It is a free gift. So don't misunderstand me here. What I'm saying is that when we are in the community of being a follower of Christ, we are called to do something, and we are called to make our marriage a gospel multiplier. What is God calling you to do in your marriage right now, either individually or jointly? Share that with your spouse. Experience the joy of being a gospel multiplier. Let's pray. Father, we humbly come before you this morning, Lord, and we know that, Lord, any ability that we have to serve others is from you. We are nothing without you, Lord. We are nothing without you. Father, thank you that when we were still dead in our trespasses, you came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for us, to even give us the hope, Lord, the hope of being in fellowship with you. And Lord, when we accept that gift, the great gift of knowing that we have assurance of being with you, Lord, Father, thank you for that precious gift. And Lord, as we go forward now, it's not over, because now that we accept you, you fill us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit comes down and literally dwells within our broken, messed up lives. And Lord, you're going to use us in ways that we can't even imagine, but we have to say yes. We have to say, yes, Lord, will you use our lives? Will you use our marriage? Will you use our dysfunction, Lord, in only a way that you can, to go out and be gospel multipliers for your glory and honor, Father? We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So a couple questions to discuss at your tables. Have you ever thought of your marriage before as a gospel multiplier? In what ways is the Lord using you, either together or individually, as a gospel multiplier right now? Literally, your spouse right next to you may not know, particularly if you're a guy. Your spouse may not know that the Lord is using you right now because you don't talk about it. Sorry, guys, I don't talk about it. It's easy to do. And then what do you think he is calling you to in the future? Take a few minutes to talk about those, please. Thanks.
All right. Hopefully you've had a good opportunity to talk with everyone at your table about service, about multiplying, about God's multiplier, of how you multiply the gospel through your marriage. And we were talking about at our table a few ways to do that, and we started thinking about how Homefront could do that. And so look for some things from us in the future. I think that we're going to look for ways to where we as a group can start doing some service projects. And one of the things that you might think of, if you're like me, you hear something like this, you hear a push for service, you hear a push for something that requires more time, and that's all you hear is, how in the world could I add anything else to my schedule? How in the world could I do one more thing? Well, I think the Clarks gave a good example of that is you just start. And you just have to start and start doing something, and it might be small, and it might be something that you don't have to come up with on your own. If you're like me, that's the hardest part, is what am I going to do? What could I do? Well, next Sunday, if you come to the worship service, which we encourage everyone to do, next Sunday, RBC is going to be sharing all the different ways that we as a church do service projects in and around the community. So I'm going to encourage you, if you weren't planning to come next week, come. Come to the service. Come and listen. You're going to get to hear from a myriad of different ministries that we have at the church and what they are and how you can get involved. So if you're looking for a way to get involved, if you're not involved in service already, that's a good way to get involved utilizing RBC. And that's what we want you to talk and pray about with your spouse this week, is how the Lord is going to use you as a gospel multiplier. And it may be that you hear something there in church next week. It may be that you heard something at your table this morning that you thought, you know what, that would be a good fit for our family. We want you to continue this discussion as you walk out of our doors. Don't just say, well, that was nice, we talked about service, and leave it here. This should be an ongoing conversation. This is one of those things to where you really do need to do the homework this week. Think about how you can get involved in service. And so that's something. And then the next thing is, guys, we talked about this last week, but the men's retreat is coming up October 3rd through the 5th. It's Living on God's Agenda. Dr. Richard Blackaby is going to be our speaker. So we encourage all you men, if you're looking for something to do on the weekend of October 3rd through 5th, here's something for you. So come join us at the men's retreat. Also, other announcements. We've got upcoming date nights. There's going to be at least two date nights to come up for you throughout between now and the end of the year. We don't have them hard and fast on the calendar yet. As you know, we like to do things very last minute here. But be looking for those. We are going to have some date nights for you. But one thing we want to tell you about that is coming up rather quickly is our Homefront Service in the Park, and that's on the 19th. And what this is this is a service for you to reach out into your community. This is a chance for you to be a gospel multiplier. Reach out to those that maybe live on your street, work with you, folks that you think, if I invited them to a church building, I don't know that they would come. I'm not real sure that they would want to walk into it because they think that they know what that's all about. Well, here's an opportunity for you to invite folks. We're going to have a service in the park at Algonquian Park on the 19th, to where we kind of have the whole church service. And it's just going to be Homefront all day. And so we're going to come in. We're going to have a real brief, Jason's promised there'll be very brief message from Jason. We're going to have some singing and just some worship with a guitar out in the park. And then we're going to have some food, which, if you're like me, is the most important part, and then some fun and games. It'll be like Homefront, except for with one caveat, and that'll be that you'll all have your whole family there, and we'll get to meet everybody. So bring your whole family, invite folks, and come to the service in the park on the 19th. And am I leaving anything out? Is that it? All right, so from here, what we always do is we go to the, and I'm losing the word, clubhouse, thank you. The clubhouse, which is if you go into the children's area, you wind around to the back room back there. There are refreshments back there for you, bagels, coffee, all kinds of things back there. You can let your kids run around. You can meet us on the playground if you have boys that go crazy. And so we encourage everyone to do that and then meet us afterward in the worship service at 11:00.